Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Gareth Greenaway joins me. We're going to talk about Buddy Cloud, a really great way to add chat and instant messaging and all sorts of cool things to your website. You're not going to want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Gareth Greenaway. Episode 297, recorded June 4th, 2014. Buddy Cloud. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, Libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at StoneEngine.com, bringing you each week the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, projects you may be using every day and not being aware of it, projects you might want to find more about as soon as we finish talking about them. This week is no exception, but first, let me bring on my talented co-host, Gareth Greenaway. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Randall. Glad to be back.
Cool. And where are you speaking to us from?
I am, once again, in Thousand Oaks, California, in my house.
Do they ever let you leave
the usual spot?
You're always there. It's very cool. Very cool. And I'm in the CEO's office of ZipRecruiter. Apparently there was a scheduling mishap and I lost the big room, but you notice it's still the same tree behind me. So that's kind of cool. It's actually in all the conference rooms. So we have a really nice little layout here for me. And he said, yeah, make sure you mention ZipRecruiter at least twice. So I just did. It's all done. We're set now. Okay. Anyway, which of course is in Santa Monica, which is where I've been spending most of my time these days. Anyway, so we have a great show today. We have Simon Tennant, who's going to come on in a few minutes and talk to us about Buddy Cloud. And from what I can tell, Buddy Cloud is a great way to give your website the ability to have like users that can chat with each other and send files to each other, kind of have a whole layering system on top of your site. And they have a hosting solution, so you can let them handle all the infrastructure, or you can also install it yourself using instructions that took a really long time to read. So hopefully it gets simpler eventually. What do you know about this so far?
Not much beyond what you had just very eloquently described. I read a bit about it this morning. It sounds like a lot of the commercial sites where you see they have kind of like a chat with for support and et cetera, but like a on an open source perspective.
Yeah, and I also saw that it's available for syndication, which means you can also share stuff with other sites as long as you want to cooperate with them. So got to ask about that when we get into the show. But let's not dilly-dally around. Let's go ahead and bring Simon on. Simon, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Nice to be here.
And where are you speaking to us from?
I'm coming in from Munich, Germany today. Originally, I'm from South Africa, but I've somehow managed to end up here in Germany.
Well, cool. Great. Good to have you on the show. I gave sort of my little view of it, but what's the 30,000-foot view for Buddy Cloud and what problems is it trying to solve?
So the 30,000-point view is if you're a developer and you want to start adding communication to your web app or your mobile app, you've got to like distract yourself from all of the development work, so the sort of core of your app, and build a messaging stack. And that would mean you've got to think about push notifications, you've got to think about how do you follow users or follow channels of information, how would you share files. It's just a bunch of stuff to think about. Like the analogy I like to give is that if you were to add mapping to your website, you wouldn't go out and build a bunch of maps and everything. You just throw in a little bit of Google Maps code and it all just magically works. So we're trying to do the same thing for messaging. If you want to add messaging to your app, you include the Buddy Cloud code and we can just take care of things in the back end. Or you can download all of the Buddy Cloud software and run it on your own infrastructure. And that's kind of important for companies that want to keep this data behind their firewall and they're not so keen on a hosted solution. So Buddy Cloud's sort of like an easy way to just add a complete messaging stack to whatever you're building.
And I understand you have both like web-based app thingies and also for like the mobile phone stuff?
Exactly. We actually started out originally on the Nokia platform. And boy, was that is an interesting project. Trying to get messaging and location and all these things to work on a platform that really didn't encourage outside developers. And then we kind of moved more on into web stuff. But now we're seeing just like a huge resurgence in mobile stuff again. Most recently, we've had a bunch of developers starting to look at using Buddy Cloud for secure messaging for one of their apps. And so we see, like, you know, everybody's doing everything really quickly on mobile. So we've tried to optimize the stack for being super mobile friendly. And that would be, you know, if you're on your mobile client and you turn it on, we try to have this goal of a 1 second time to glass. So you should immediately see as much information as possible on your screen, and then have all the other information trickling in the background. So we try to optimize as much as possible for mobile these days.
And how did you get started with this? What was the need that came about? You said you started with Nokia, but what was the time frame, and what was driving it?
So about 6 years ago now, it's a little bit scary. we figured, you know, this is pre-Foursquare. We figured, wouldn't it be kind of interesting? You know, people walk around and they wear like brands of clothing, like somebody's wearing a Tommy Hilfiger shirt or whatnot. So people have this sort of need to express themselves. And what happens if we applied that to the places they went to and let them share this? So we spent a bunch of time developing this location-based sharing system, and we built a whole, you know, there wasn't even a location API on phones in those days. This is pre-iPhone. So we built a way to sort of pattern match the cell towers that your phone could see. And if it saw enough of a certain bunch of towers, it would know, he's probably at home. And if it saw a different set of towers, he's at work or he's at his favorite bar. And we let users sort of express themselves using this stuff. So, but location is really just an ingredient. And then we started building a social layer, and it sort of grew out of that. We had a bunch of users all over the world that were like then bookmarking places and then sharing them and then communicating around those places. And sort of it went much more in a social networking direction. If you think about we started having more and more of these social features, but we realized, you know, wouldn't it be cool if anybody could download this stuff and essentially build their own version of Buddy Cloud? So we spent a bunch of time re-engineering it to become a federated system. So just like email, you know, you're on one domain, you can send work emails to your friends on other domains. We did the same with this. So you can essentially have one Buddy Cloud instance per domain, and users on each domain can then intercommunicate and share files, send updates, share location, share whatever. To where we are today, which is really focusing on saving developers time. So, you know, we want a developer to be successful as quick as possible when they need to add messaging to their stack. And, you know, the code's all open source. So when a developer hits the wall of like, you know, Buddy Cloud doesn't do this, well, then we've tried to make it easy to extend so they can add more stuff in later and they don't sort of paint themselves into a corner with the Buddy Cloud architecture.
Was this always intended as an open source project then?
Yeah. We started off open source. We've still got the, you know, the old Nokia Symbian horrible C source code floating around somewhere, but it's probably toxic, and I wouldn't advise anybody to look at that at this point.
Just go ahead.
Right now the entire stack is open source. It's Apache 2 licensed, so that includes things like the channel server, the media server, the push notification server, service we call Friend Finder. All of that's open source. And then we also have open source APIs and libraries for adding into different platforms.
And what's the level of maturity of it? Is it something I could use today?
Yeah, it's pretty mature. We actually have like real customers using it now for real projects, for that have real users that expect stuff to be reliable. There's a lot of moving parts, and that's one of the reasons we built the hosting platform so that developers can kind of quickly get up to speed and start testing it. But our goal is that as a developer, you want to eventually run the entire stack yourself. So everything's designed to, you know, there's nothing sort of proprietary about the hosting platform. It's running all the same code that you could download and run on your site.
So what would it take for me to add, say, a chat to my website? Is there a lot of steps to that?
We actually have a recipe. We've sort of done the start of the series called Cooking with Buddy Cloud. And the idea is that we give users like, you know, 5 or 6 steps of this is the JavaScript library you need. This is how it would plug into your user database. This is how you create a user. This is how you post a message. This is how you pull back messages. So in a website case, you'd probably need to know a little bit about JavaScript, but essentially you're just adding a library and then running through a bunch of calls.
Okay, and if I see you have a hosted solution, I presume that there's a commercial element to that where I'm paying to have you host me. Is there a developer, like, you know, first 50 or free kind of thing?
Actually, the dirty secret is it's all free right now. So
I was looking for pricing. I couldn't see it anywhere. So I guess that's why.
It's totally free. And you know, our approach is that for developers, for open source projects, we want to keep it free. We think that if we can help companies with sort of extended support and things like that, then we might charge for that. But we want to get the core right for developers first, and prove that that's super useful to them. And then, you know, then we might come up with a commercial offering. But we're not there yet.
It's free for now, but we'll make it up in volume, is what you're trying to say.
Exactly. You know, I think GitHub does this very well. The fact that they have such an amazing service that's free for developers, but then when you want to sort of, if you're a company and you want to have some sort of private repositories or stuff like that, then you pay for it. And that's a model that I think resonates reasonably well with people. But our focus is on getting it right, first of all, before we try and charge for anything.
Well, since you have no revenue whatsoever, what is this a nights and weekends project for you?
It's been a nights and weekends project for a long time, but we're actually seeing that there are companies out there that are using it. So we've basically doing consulting work with organizations that are using the Buddy Cloud stack, and some of them are using it in very interesting ways that, you know, sort of ways that we would never have imagined. Most recently, we've been talking with a company that's trying to do sort of ultra secure messaging, so end-to-end encryption, to the point where you absolutely can't even trust your sysadmin. They're doing clever stuff with key management, and basically, like, you know, an open source version of what Threema is or Chat Secure, things like that. So you know, often we can't predict these things, but our approach is that if we build the features and if we build these features, you know, eventually they're going to be sort of useful to somebody, and then we can build the core features and look at, like, how does the ecosystem evolve around the edges. And I noticed you had, like, some of the Typo3 guys on last week, and in fact they're starting to, one of their main developers is starting to do very interesting stuff with Buddy Cloud. So we're kind of curious what that community starts doing with the Buddy Cloud messaging stack.
So Buddy Cloud is built on a lot of, from what I understand, a lot of open protocols. Can you speak a bit about that, like kind of which protocols it's using and what made you guys choose those particular protocols when you were designing this?
Sure. So, you know, the federation layer, that's the part that, you know, I'm sitting on example.com and I want to connect to example.net. That all uses XMPP. We chose XMPP because it's a really great sort of real-time messaging protocol. You can think of it like as a federated messaging bus. As long as a message is addressed the right way, you can push it off to the XMPP server, and that'll just take care of finding the remote XMPP server, connecting to it, making sure the connection is secure, and getting that message there, sort of all in real time. And it's also got a great standards community around it. So you can be pretty sure when you're picking up different parts of the XMPP spec, they've been reviewed, there's good libraries for them, they're secure. And it's also even gone through an IETF review process. So we've used XMPP for the sort of site-to-site messaging, but then also within each site that's running Buddy Cloud, the different components use XMPP to communicate. So, for example, if I get a message posted into my channel on Buddy Cloud, that'll generate a push notification. That push notification is actually done by a separate service. So, and all of these services interconnect using XMPP as well. And that gives us like a really clean way to design stuff. So, you know, we can run these as independent processes on a box or on remote boxes. And it sort of enforces like an architectural purity of how you build the service. So you've got sort of much more like the Unix approach where you've got small processes that when put together become greater than the sum of their parts. We've tried to do that the same with BuddyCloud. So you've got all these small processes that interconnect using XMPP to then provide a full messaging stack.
Okay. So along the lines of the federated design and being able to kind of get messages from other locations, is it strictly like real-time communication or is it more like time-shifted in a way? Like am I able to send like an audio or video message to someone and they can pick it up at a later time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of our focus on mobile, you know, stuff has to be real-time, but also, if you think about your use on a mobile, you drive through a tunnel or whatnot, you don't want to miss those messages. So in the same way that Skype or Hangouts or whatnot will sort of reconnect and then pull back its message history so that you've always got a complete message history on your device or your web client, BuddyCloud does the same. You know, your client can just send a sync command with the most recent message that it has in its history, and it'll get all of the new messages since the last time you were online. And then there's also search, so you can always search back through the history of all your messages.
Okay. Now, if I was to set this up on my domain and there was someone that I didn't necessarily want to federate with, do I have the ability to kind of exclude them from being able to connect with me? How does that work?
Sure. So federation, you can, by default, it's sort of open. Your site will interconnect with other sites, much like, you know, you can send email to any other site, but you could always add a whitelist or a blacklist, or just not federate at all. That's on the sort of XMPP layer. On top of that, we have BuddyCloud channel. So that's much like sort of an activity feed, or if you think about like your Facebook wall with a bunch of posts. The end user gets to choose who sees that, who can write into that, who can moderate that, who's banned. And so there's the federation layer, and you can always cut at that layer, or you could cut a sort of user layer and decide who gets to access what.
From the BuddyCloud layer, how granular are those control lists? I mean, can you specify like this group of people can do this, or is it just like everyone gets this and or everyone doesn't get this?
So it really depends on the channel. For example, we had one. There's an Italian woman who runs this channel called the Food Channel on BuddyCloud, and she's very, very active on there, and she chooses, you know, who moderates, and she's got a bunch of trusted friends who then moderate posts to the channel. I think she had some people who just posted a bunch of crap, so they're in a blacklist, and that's really per channel. So then we have like our team channel. And we're always around there, so that's pretty much open. Anybody can post into that channel, it's I guess the short answer is it's basically per channel of who can do what.
Okay. Now the hosted solution, is that also federated and is that controlled in a way of who can federate with it or not?
That's totally federated. So to set it up, you would basically just, you could run as a subdomain of buddycloud.com, or you could point your own DNS at it, and that would make it look like you're running BuddyCloud on your own domain. Right now, we just federate with everybody because it's you know, we've never actually had a use case where a particular domain hasn't wanted to federate, because much of the sort of the controls are then higher up at the buddy cloud level. But I think what you're getting at is that you might want to run a bunch of open channels on your domain, but only permit, like, you know, if you run it for your family, only permit your family to post all of those channels. And that is an ACL that you can easily have on Buddy Cloud. Does that sort of answer it, Gareth?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at. So what is, like, right now, what's the most interesting use case that you've seen for Buddy Cloud to present?
So we've worked quite closely with a company called Shorevine in the UK. They've built a very, very interesting soon to be released client that'll also be open source, that works very much like Yammer. And so they use it in-house for their different teams to communicate, post status updates, share files, and, you know, when you see the whole company using this, it's super exciting, because it really is an open source version of something of Yammer that's enabling people to work so much better. And I believe there's also some work with the British government, where different government departments are intercommunicating using Buddy Cloud and XMPP. But that's not something that we've developed ourselves. We don't have too much visibility into what's going on there.
This all sounds really fascinating. So I'm thinking about applications here. You know, you mentioned Yammer a couple times, and they use Yammer here, but not very well, mostly because I can't seem to find a good RSS feed for it, so I don't see it in my RSS reader. But they do have a Yammer iOS client, and I think there's also an Android client, and I don't even pull that up very often. But if I were to move to Buddy Cloud for this sort of in-house communications, it sounds like a lot of people are doing, would I need to build a special, like, Android client and iOS client to talk to my particular network, or are there generic solutions? Or does the mobile web does it play well on mobile web?
So we have a web client that works well. It works reasonably well on slightly larger screens, so sort of tablet level screens. Where we see the real sort of activity is the real-timeness on mobile. So if you've got something in your pocket, you get a push notification, you sort of act on it quicker than you would if it's sort of an email and you've got to do a long reply. And to support that, we've built this Android client. Our next step is going to be to build an iOS client. We're not there yet. But certainly if people are running Android or they can access the web, then Buddy Cloud's got them covered.
Okay, and also I wanted to ask, scalability, you know, if I can't imagine you're going to get, you know, millions of messages through your poor little machine. So does this scale horizontally?
Yeah, there's a couple of approaches to scaling. So XMPP-wise, we've deployed the hosting platform using an XMPP server called Tigas, and that scales up to, I think, 10 million simultaneous connections or something ridiculous. Then there's sort of like application level scaling. So each of the components running within the XMPP service, that'll be like the push notification server, the channel server, the media server, those can then be scaled horizontally. We also worked with a company called Fanout. They're doing like super interesting work. You can sort of think of them as like a real-time CDN. And they can take Buddy Cloud messages and then essentially fan them out to all the endpoints that are actually interested in getting them. So scaling is one of those sort of interesting and nice to have problems, because it means that you're hitting crazy numbers of users. But looking at the work that Fanout's done and Tigas has done, I'm very, very comfortable knowing that we can scale more when things start cranking up.
Cool. I just got distracted now. I forgot the question again. Oh, so how do you compare with other things in this arena? I know, for example, that even Protomo actually favorited the tweet when I said you're going to be on the show. So maybe compare yourself to what he's been doing over the years, and maybe Amy, whatever else is in this space. How would you compare yourself?
Mm-hmm. So there's like Pump.io, mm-hmm. and they work very much at the web layer. So all of their federation works by connecting to the remote site, looking for a .well-known file, and then exchanging messages backwards and forwards over HTTP. XMPP is much more message-based. So you'll find that your XMPP server connects to the remote site, and then these messages flow backwards and forwards. And so sort of XMPP's heritage is about instant messaging. That means that by building on XMPP, we've sort of automatically got this messaging layer in place. We haven't had to do a lot of work there. Then I guess there's Diaspora, which I'm not too clear on how their federation protocol works. And our approach has really been to firstly define the protocol. How do these like different services need to interact, and then to build the application on top. And I think the Diaspora approach has been more to build the application and then sort of try to figure out the federation and how you scale the federation side. But to be honest, I'm so focused on BuddyCloud stuff that I sometimes lose focus on what some of the other projects are doing. So don't quote me on exactly how they work.
Okay, that's a fair answer. Especially, yeah. So it's like if people say, "Well, how do you compare Perl to say Ruby?" I would go, "Well, I know a little bit about Ruby. I know a lot about Perl, but I really don't know much about Ruby, except it's a cross between Smalltalk and Perl, which is my two favorite languages." Anyway, I digress. So what you kind of skirted around this question a couple times, or the answer a couple times, but what sort of media can I send through this system? Obviously text messages. Can I send audio files? Can I send video?
Totally. So the media server just, it's like a big bit bucket in many ways. You throw something in there. The special thing about it is that if you drag a file, whatever size it is, into a channel, the media is then just shared with members of that channel. So, you know, unlike, think about maybe your Twitter stream or your Facebook feed. If anybody can get the URL out of those images that are shared in Twitter or Facebook, they can essentially view the media. We've developed a system that sort of has a token that's presented as well along with the media that verifies that you really are a member of like Secret Pictures channel or Movies channel or whatever channel you're sharing media in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as long as it's binary, it can go in the media server and it'll automatically federate with all the followers on whatever site they're running on.
And so could you effectively make a, let's see, how do they put it? Like those walkie-talkie phones that they had for a while, maybe they still have them, where I could just press a button and it just sends a short burst message, and then you could push a button and sends it back. Could you set up something like that with this?
That should totally be possible. I think Nextel might have something to say about that.
Oh, yes,
but,
that's what's ahead.
It should totally be possible, because essentially your client is just throwing a file onto the BuddyCloud channel and into the media server, and then posting a link up there. And you'd need to develop a simple little client that would then just invisibly grab that link and put a little speaker icon next to it, and the user would then play it back or however. Totally doable, yeah.
And I'm scrolling back really fast because I want to get the username there. We have a chat room we have live and as we're doing the show, and RGP421 a while ago asked, is there video conferencing support like RTMFP or WebRTC P2P visual audio? I don't understand all those letters, but maybe you do.
So there's definitely WebRTC support. A few weeks back, we had a Mozilla hackathon here in Munich, and we've been working together with a guy called Philip Hanker, who is very involved in the Jitsi project. And mm-hmm. XMPP plays very, very nicely with WebRTC, because WebRTC needs a sort of clean signaling channel so that you can pull in multiple people. And XMPP has all the jingle support, and Jitsi has all the media switching. So that's totally doable. It's one of those things we haven't actually built out enough into production to offer it as something on the hosting platform. But we know that it's like WebRTC is coming, and it should make a nice weekend project at some point.
So one of the things I was thinking about just now when Randall was asking you about sending media files, how are those hosted, and how much control do you have over where those are hosted as a user?
So as a user, sort of much like you would do on your email, you connect to your home IMAP server, and BuddyCloud's much the same. You connect to your home BuddyCloud server. That is then responsible for pushing off posts to other BuddyCloud servers. And the media server works exactly the same way. So when I want to upload media, I'm pushing it into my home media server. If it's for a channel on that server, so for example, team at BuddyCloud.org, that lives on BuddyCloud.org. But if I wanted to post to team at remotesite.org, the media would then get posted to the remote media server. So the reason we did it that way is that we don't want, you know, if somebody wants to run a media server that's going to be trading in massive files or whatnot, they shouldn't penalize the rest of the network. They should have to handle the putting and the retrieval of those big files off their domain, off their servers.
So if I'm hosting a BuddyCloud instance and I have my media server where all the files are served from, is it possible to have those files appear to come from the media server but actually be using, say, something like Dropbox or Amazon's S3 or some other like cloud storage provider?
Ooh, that's a good question. At the moment, no. There isn't a good technical reason why not, other than it's a little bit more complexity than just pulling it off a local disk. But it should be possible to, as long as you can work out how to generate the token. It's not a request we've had yet, but I think we could probably solve it if there's a sort of pressing need for that. And it does sound like a nice way to do it architecturally and to build something that's good for developers. Yeah.
Fair enough. So if there's anyone listening to the show and they're interested in getting involved in the project, what is the best way for them to get started?
Best way is probably to jump onto the BuddyCloud mailing list, or simply to go to BuddyCloud.com, and we've got a getting started page that walks you through a couple of steps to start using BuddyCloud, or simply jump on the hosting platform. And the hosting platform's great because even if you don't want to use any of the BuddyCloud features, you get a full XMPP stack on your own domain. So you then get XMPP messaging basically for free. So, and we'd love to have help. We're currently jamming on our documentation. So, and we love pull requests. All the code is on github.com/BuddyCloud. And please feel free to contribute.
Oh, so what is the, like, if anyone wants to get involved, what's one of the most requested features that you guys have seen that someone might want to tackle?
If somebody has good WebRTC understanding, we would love to work together with you to push that forward. What else are we working on? So a big push right now, and my task for the rest of this week is just documentation. It's unsexy, but it is, you know, when you work on a project that has great documentation, it's so exciting, and that's where we want to be. We want to have this documentation that's just perfect. So any people who like writing documentation or reviewing documentation or just testing stuff, we'd love to have your help as well.
So I'm just curious now. You say go to the Buddy Cloud site. Do you are you eating your own dog food? Do you have like a site set up where I can do chats and stuff and channels? Or even talking with the developers like you?
Totally. So we actually have a site, demo.buddycloud.org. And if you pop over there, you can start using Buddy Cloud. That's just a simple hosted instance. That'll give you your own Buddy Cloud channel, and you can post messages. You can see other channels, drag and drop media and whatnot.
No, but I mean, is that where you guys hang out?
Yeah, we're a team at topics.buddycloud.org is the name of the channel, and we're all on there.
Wow, cool. I was just going to say, because I'm going to ask typically, you know, are people have like Freenode channels and stuff, but that would be sacrilege for you, right?
Yeah. And we also have a multi-user chat room that we hang out, and that's linked off the contacts page.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. I'll have to check some of that out. Now, have we covered all the different pieces here? Because we've talked about a lot of different components to it. There's the, you know, the media server, the stuff that talks to the web API and things like that. Have we sort of boxed in now pretty much what the scope of this project is?
Yeah, I think we've covered it pretty well. You know, there's a lot of like sort of edge components. Like we recently built a component that will let you suck in your Twitter graph or your Facebook graph, and then compare it so you can find, you know, contacts within Buddy Cloud. And we're quite proud of how we've done that actually, because we hash everything. So we don't actually want to know who you follow on Facebook or Twitter, or phone numbers or addresses or anything like that. So essentially we're just comparing hashes of all these external social graphs so that then you can connect within Buddy Cloud. But I think you've covered it pretty well. One project that's sort of an adjunct to Buddy Cloud is XMPP for the web. And this is something that a guy called Lloyd Watkins has been working on. And if you ever want to build anything to do with real-time messaging in JavaScript, it gives you a really, really good starting point, and it has a bunch of extensions to then support Buddy Cloud. And so that's definitely a project worth checking out as well alongside Buddy Cloud.
You know, I'm going to kick myself for not researching this before the show, but there's one of the things I was thinking of comparing this to is there was a real-time push notification platform that uses JavaScript, and you could basically have subscribe and push and stuff like that. Now I can't remember the name of it, darn it. Something.
Is that like PubNub, maybe?
No, it was a much more, you know, Web 3.0 name. Let's see here. Anyway, it was sort of set up for free, and then of course what they wanted to do is rope you into actually, you know, using their hosting service. So, but it was designed to scale hugely so that you could have lots and lots of publishers and subscribers and just all work. But sounds like you're like a superset of that. You're not just this push notification setup, but you're also all the other pieces to it, like media service and stuff. So that sounds pretty cool.
Push notification stuff is actually the easiest stuff to do. That's like, you know, work out what messages need to go. Are they being pushed out to email or to Android or iOS or wherever, or even SMS? It's the magic that actually gets people to then turn on their device and do more stuff.
Mm. And what about security? You mentioned you hash things there. That was going to be one of my earlier questions. But if someone broke into the server, what would they see? Can they get access to all the history of messages and things?
So if somebody is doing sort of end-to-end encryption, each of those messages would be encrypted. You know, at some point you've got to trust your sysadmin with any of these sort of services. And we took the architectural decision that, you know, it makes more sense to encrypt or to control the endpoints and make sure that the transports between your phone and the server are secure. The end-to-end stuff, that's like a layer above there. But end-to-end-wise, it's standard TLS connections with a decent cipher set. And one of the projects we've been involved in on the XMPP Standards Foundation is making sure that any server on the XMPP network is 100% encrypted. So when they interconnect and start sending messages, be they chat messages or Buddy Cloud messages, those messages are, the servers, nothing is going over in clear text.
Cool. And so I presume you're also using like standard XMPP authentication handshaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a simple question because people already know that probably.
Yeah.
Okay. So you keep saying we. I know it's not a mouse in your pocket. Who else is working on the core development team? What's the size and how do you communicate with each other?
So we've got about six people working actively on BuddyCloud. Mm-hmm. And we're spread out all over the world. Brazil, UK, Germany, and then there's a bunch of contributors that are pushing in code from other places as well. But the core team's about six. Mm-hmm. And I work on it full-time. Some of the other members of the team work on it part-time. To communicate, we've used, obviously, XMPP chat, BuddyCloud messages. Mm-hmm. And then until we get our WebRTC stuff working, we've just been using Hangouts. So we try to jump on a Hangout every day or every 2 days. And there's a lot to be said when you're on a mailing list for keeping it asynchronous. But it's super nice just going through, like, who's working on what are the milestones. And for that reason, we jump on a call every day. And we usually try to publish those in our calendar, so, and anybody's welcome to jump in onto those calls as well.
Cool. I would imagine also, given the various time zones and stuff, that getting together in real time must be a little tricky.
Yeah, it's surmountable. As long as I'm up late and everybody else is up early, it works somehow.
Yeah. I every time I interview somebody that's in like Australia, they really hate my 8:30 a.m. starting time. So it's like, that's like middle of the night. I know. I've been to Australia. I know the difference like there. Anyway, cool. Now I lost my question, train of thought again. Darn it. I hate that when I do that. I was watching the chat room, which I shouldn't do while I'm actually working. It's all crazy stuff that way. So, that was it. So given also the disparity of people using this, are you looking for assistance with localization?
We always like assistance with localization, but we actually have it pretty well covered. We use a service called Web Translate It, and we have teams. So as soon as we add new strings to the Android client or to the web client, we've got a bunch of helpers that jump on and update those, at least for the major languages. If somebody is from a smaller language and they'd love BuddyCloud support in their language, send us the strings and we will totally incorporate them straight away. It's actually funny. Like, we had one of the early versions of the Nokia client. We even had a pirate speak localization. So it was like... to go online was like lift the anchor or drop the anchor. And yep. It was really fun. Yes. We like our localization.
Avast G-Channel.
Exactly.
Wow, that sounds like fun. So if somebody wanted it in Urdu or whatever, they would have to provide some of the strings for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And we should be able to turn those around in a few days. We'll push out a new build as soon as we get the strings.
Okay. Well, we're almost out of time. I just want to make sure that we've covered everything you wanted to cover. Is there anything you think we've left out or anything else you want to tell our audience before we let you go?
The reason we built this is because there's more and more of these closed communication silos. And, there's WhatsApp, there's Hangouts, there's Snapchat. And if you look at the truly successful messaging systems out there, and I know it's old and it's a little crusty now, but who else can say, I've built an app that's lasted 30 years, and that's what email has given us. And it's given us that because it's an open standard, it's open protocol, there's multiple implementations, and also it's federated. And to me, that's like super inspiring that you can actually build a product that's used for 30 years. And it doesn't look like email is going away anytime soon. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if we're building these services, we should always be thinking about how do we build them so they're silo-free and that they are encouraging developers to then, pick them up and innovate them on them more and take them forward. And that's sort of our approach with BuddyCloud. We think that email is great, but now we can sort of start building a next generation email that's a little bit more social focused. So if anybody wants to take part in that, we'd love more contributors.
How much of what you're doing, and I just thought of this now, how much of what you're doing is using the standards that are already there, and how much of it is protocol that you've had to put on top of those standards to achieve what BuddyCloud specifically needs?
So we use the XMPP standard, and then on top of that, we've built the BuddyCloud standard, and that's currently going through the standardization process in the XMPP Standards Foundation. And that's sort of much more application level sort of protocol. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a channel will need these types of roles. This is how you revoke a message. This is how you do a push notification, things like that. So we're totally committed to that, and we're working that sort of through the standardization process right now. But wherever possible, we've always tried to just use existing standards rather than reinventing anything. And that's why XMPP has been such a boon for us. It's like we sort of feel like we're standing on the shoulders of giants. We don't have to think too much about this federation stuff. It sort of comes for free, and we can focus on the application layer and getting that right.
Yeah, kind of like you wouldn't have to invent mail but you were setting up like a mail response server where you'd send a piece of mail to a certain address and it would send back more stuff. You don't have to invent the layer of mail for that, and it really helps get it off the road path, on the road
path. Yeah, and you're not having to build new libraries or whatever. You can essentially just pull off like, we need a Python library. Grab one, and it's there. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely. Or the web, actually. What did he use mail for? How old am I? It's a problem. Hey, remember when you had to like take two wires and click them together? No, just kidding. Well, I got to ask two more questions. Otherwise, my audience is going to email me and remind me I didn't ask these two questions. What's your favorite scripting language?
Python.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. You mentioned Python a moment ago. I knew you were going to say that. Yeah, sorry?
It's Python's sort of really grown on me recently because my girlfriend's been learning, been teaching herself programming. And so every now and again, I get these like these Python questions. And I'm like, wow, this is actually really elegant. I like this more and more.
Python is good for beginners. Python's good for beginners. Well, if you want to be an expert, get the Perl. All right. Anyway, just kidding. Oh, now I'm going to get a whole bunch of mail too for that. Who cares? Anyway, and your favorite text editor?
At the moment, it's a reasonably tweaked out version of Vim.
Okay,
does the job.
It's okay. I had a win recently where somebody said both Emacs and Perl, but I think it was a long time ago actually now. So anyway, but it's been wonderful having you on the show. Thank you. I know a lot of people are going to be a lot more interested in checking this out and maybe even playing with the free services before they cost money and see how it works out. So thank you for being on the show.
Thanks, Randall.
Very cool. That was Simon Tennant, who is representing the BuddyCloud project. What do you think, Gareth?
It sounds very exciting. For the longest time, like I remember when I first discovered the whole concept of XMPP and the whole federation idea, and so like various groups and various companies have tried to adopt it and make it so that it's a bit, a lot of groups have tried to do what I think BuddyCloud has done and succeeded in doing, and those groups have either failed at doing it or they've just not done it right. So it's really exciting to see a group like BuddyCloud doing it and doing it right and succeeding in doing it.
And also doing it open source, like from the beginning, to really be committed to, that this isn't going to have like some, freemium sort of thing where, you get basic messaging for free. And then if you really want to have, video files being sent through it, then it's going to cost you or something like that. So this seems pretty fascinating that it's all being done out in the open. And I wish these guys a lot of success, and I'll be watching them in the future and maybe even trying to play with it a little bit. It looks like it's just throw some JavaScript on my web pages, which I do that. I do jQuery, I do Dart and all sorts of things. So there we go. Any other comments, Gareth?
No. Like you said, I'm excited to play with it as well, just to kind of kick the tires and see what it can do.
Cool. Well, let's talk about some upcoming guests then. We have coming up next week, Turnkey Linux, which is probably exactly how it sounds. I haven't done any research on it. I'm sorry. It's Turnkey Linux. Just watch the show and you'll find out what it is. Tonika, which is a platform for social networks. Then the third show from now is our very special episode 300. We're talking behind the scenes about what we're going to do. I just opened up Q3, and one of the things in Q3 is, since it's that time of the year again, on July 23rd, we'll be at OSCON. I hope to do another live show from there. I've done three or four live shows from OSCON, and at least we'll have some good interviews and stuff from people there, so that'll be really nice. And I am starting to send out invites for Q3, but right now it's pretty wide open, so I don't have anybody else to report yet. You can go to the homepage for this show. That's twit.tv/floss. And from there, you can link to the big spreadsheet that has all the upcoming guests, everybody I'm trying to get on the show. If you have a project that is not on that list or is way down towards the bottom of that list, please contact the project manager, whoever represents the project to people, especially like a community manager or somebody like that, and have them email me, merlin@stonehenge.com, and you can, my address is on that page in case you don't write it down quick enough, or in case you're in your car and don't want to write anything down because you're not supposed to be texting while you're driving. Okay. And you can also see who's coming up. You can follow us at Floss Weekly on Google+, and at Floss Weekly on Twitter. I try to give messages about who I've gotten on the show recently and also who's coming up in the next hour or so. We'd have a live chat. We took a fair number of questions from that. Our show is typically 8:30 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesdays, but occasionally there's variances. Go look at the big spreadsheet and you can find out when they're going to be. You can follow me at Merlin, M-E-R-L-Y-N, but more likely you're going to see a lot more from me on Google+. That's Randall L. Schwartz on Google+. And what's weird, of course, that this URL is R-A-N-D-A-L-L Schwartz, even though my first name only has one L, but because I picked Randall L. Schwartz, which is my professional moniker. So I hate that when I do that. But anyway, and as I've discussed for the last few weeks, 1 week from today in London, if you're in the London area or someplace that you can get there, like maybe by plane from Idaho or something, we'll have a meetup for Floss Weekly and also my Pearl friends. It's in the Kensington Gardens area at a pub called Goat, G-O-A-T. It's right next to my hotel, and hopefully they have Wi-Fi there so we can watch the taping of Floss Weekly the next week, because we'll be there about that time. I'm going to be there probably mid-afternoon onward through until I pass out, because that's the arrival day, so I might be just completely jet-lagged, so we'll see if that's going to be fun. But I have got confirmation that Dan Lynch is going to be there, so if you want to hook up with Dan as well, he's actually taking like an hour and a half train ride to come into town just so he can come and do this, so that's really cool. I hope you're looking forward to that. That's about all I have to plug today. Gareth, what do you have to plug?
I will mention upcoming show taking place June 13th and 14th in Austin, Texas. It's the Texas Linux Fest. If you've been to a similar show like Scale, Ohio Linux Fest, Linux Fest Northwest, very similar atmosphere to those shows. So if you're in the Austin area for those dates, I highly recommend that you check it out.
And Austin's a cool place to visit, too, so really nice. Cool. All right, yeah, and I've been to, I think I've been to two or three of the Linux Fests so far. I haven't spoken. I only go where I speak, so I must have spoken at almost all of them. That's how it works. I mean, not all of them. All the ones I've been at. Boy, okay, I think it's about time to wrap up because I can hear that music coming behind me. We'll see you again next time on Floss Weekly.